Praise be Jesus and Mary. On the sixth Sunday in ordinary time, the Mass readings focus primarily on the law of God, as we know, summarized in the Ten Commandments, serving as a moral code, for those who wish to live a truly human life, a moral code that is perfected by Jesus himself in the new law, and he calls us ultimately to live out the moral code to its perfection, to live a moral life that is of holiness, and ultimately to be saints. That is the ultimate purpose of the moral law. The gospel passage we heard today is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, during which he presents himself as something of the new Moses. He promulgates the new law, the new law of the gospel, also known as the law of grace or of charity. And this law, he makes very clear, does not abolish the old law, but fulfills and perfects it. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, but I say to you. With these words, Jesus makes his listeners understand that a greater one than Moses was now teaching them. Truly the greatest prophet of all has finally come to teach his own people. He was exercising his authority as God, his divine authority. And he's the only one, ultimately, that could make these changes to the law. And the Jews who were listening were very much aware of that, because Moses, when he received the law from God, was merely communicating, to the Jews, God's words. So Jesus, to be changing that in some way, modifying it, even the least bit, would not be looked upon very well by the Jews, unless he had the authority to do so, which he did, because he was God in the flesh. In no uncertain terms, Jesus then goes on to teach, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In saying this, Jesus is teaching his followers, all of us, that we must not merely be righteous, but our righteousness has to in some way surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, as you know, the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' time were well known for their scrupulous observance of the law of Moses to the least details. In the eyes of others, they really did appear to be righteous, maybe even the epitome of righteousness. But unfortunately, it became, for the most part, a merely outward, superficial observance of the law, observing the letter of the law, but not its spirit, not interiorizing it, as it were. What was lacking, and which God expected from them most, was their hearts, their souls, their love. So this was lacking. Jesus makes this teaching more explicit when he goes on to perfect the various Mosaic laws that we heard just a sample of today. He goes on in his Sermon on the Mount, one after the other. But we got an example today of what he actually did change and perfect among those Mosaic laws. For example, from now on, not only must one not kill the innocent in particular, but one must also not be angry with another, hatred towards one's brother or sister, which is kind of a spiritual murder of sorts. That too was displeasing to God. Not only must one not commit adultery, but one must not even look at another with lust, adultery in the heart. And that's certainly an important point in today's culture, so prominent, in our world today, adultery in the heart, lusting after others, objectifying others, so displeasing to God. Furthermore, not only is divorce abrogated, our Lord teaches that this was never according to God's will or plan. It was merely permitted. But our Lord, in his sermon in today's passage, says it is abrogated, and that marrying a divorced person even would be adulterous. And then not only must one avoid taking false oaths, perjury, but one must also avoid taking any unnecessary oaths, which was quite common at the time of Jesus, taking oaths for the littlest and insignificant of reasons. So it was getting kind of ridiculous and dishonoring God. And many other things did our Lord Jesus correct, improve, or perfect in his sermon. And he thus raises the bar of morality, much higher. In fact, he raises it to the highest degree, you could say, for us mere mortals to observe, the perfection of the moral law. Jesus will not be content with a minimalist attitude, towards moral living and those especially who wish to follow him, his disciples. No, he will have nothing less than perfection. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus would say eventually later in his Sermon on the Mount. And these words of Christ aptly summarize this whole moral teaching, ratifying and renewing his command of old, in the Old Testament, to his own people when he said, "Be holy because I am holy." So be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. The church continued to proclaim this teaching of Jesus, and in more recent times, this teaching has come to be known as the universal call to holiness. It's always good to remind ourselves of this very important teaching of our Lord, of the church, that all are called to a great holiness of life. As the Second Vatican Council document on the church, Lumen Gentium, states, all Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of love. The universal call of holiness has been, we could say, insisted upon more in recent times by the church, because nothing is perhaps more necessary than members of the church living out their call to be saints. For the saints are ultimately only ones who bring about the necessary reform of the church in every age, and therefore are capable of being salt of the earth and light of the world, which the world always is in need of. So what the world and the church need most are saints. Christians who are earnestly striving for sanctity, for holiness, who earnestly strive to live out the twofold commandment of perfect love of God and neighbor, which summarize the commandments, who are earnestly striving to live in accordance with their great calling as children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven, which we all are. As Christians, we have a great responsibility to bring all souls to Christ in his church, to his church, which is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. In a particular way, we must bear witness to that mark of the true church as being holy. That is, holy, first by means of her head, Christ, the God-man, holy by means of that which animates her, gives her life, God, the Holy Spirit, holy by means of her sacraments, which are the principal channels of divine grace communicated to us, grace which leads to holiness. And finally, holy because of her members. Of course, Mary, the preeminent member of the church, the only member of the church without spot or wrinkle, and all the members of the church in heaven, those in purgatory, and even certain members here on earth, those living saints, as it were, which every age, generation has, thankfully, sometimes known, many times unknown to us. So the church has always and will always produce her saints. And this is also true of the present time. The church will produce many saints in our times. And as always, the saints will be the church's best and truest representatives, and thus her most efficacious instruments in bringing souls, you know, to the church, to her bosom. And we are all called to be such saints. You know, by way of conclusion, you know, being mindful of our call to become great saints, and perhaps the discouragement that oftentimes can tempt us to give up the pursuit of holiness, you know, discouragement, you know, being the devil's greatest weapon. You know, we need to recall that great prophecy of St. Louis de Montfort, that the greatest saints of the latter times will be those who are particularly devoted to our Blessed Mother, you know, consecrated to her totally, you know, and by means of this, they will reach great holiness in the surest, swiftest, most beautiful and efficacious manner. You know, so we have great help, you know, to reach holiness. We're not on our own, thankfully. Our Lord has given to us, you know, the saint maker, you know, par excellence, you know, the mold, as it were, of those who are to be made into saints, other Christ, Our Lady herself, who together with the Holy Spirit, you know, personally and directly, you know, makes Christians holy, and to form this army of saints, of which we wish to be numbered. So let us then stay very close to Mary, our Blessed Mother, and we will indeed be holy as God is holy. We will be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Praise be Jesus and Mary.